I thought for my reflections with you on this second weekend of Easter, I'd just share three very brief true stories. The first one was from Time magazine in 1984, one issue that had a very startling front cover. It pictured a prison cell where two men sat on metal folding chairs facing each other up close and personal, speaking quietly so others couldn't hear their conversation. The younger man was named Mehmet Ali Agca. He was the shooter, the attempted assassin, and the other man was Pope John Paul II, the intended victim. The Pope held the hand that had held the gun and shot the bullet which had torn into his body. And this scene was shown around a world, of course, that was still filled with nuclear arsenals and plenty of unflexing power. His deed with Ali Agca spoke a message of what God is about, clearer than many words could have said. At the end of the meeting, Ali Agca raised the Pope's hand to his forehead as a sign of respect. And when John Paul left the cell, his words were, "I spoke to him as a brother whom I have pardoned and who has my complete trust." The Emperor Napoleon is the second brief story, who apparently was moved by a mother's plea for pardon for her soldier son. The Empress said that since it was the man's second offence, justice demanded death. And the mother said, "I do not ask for justice, I plead for mercy." "But," said the Emperor, "he does not deserve mercy." And the mother cried, "Sir, it would not be mercy if he deserved it, and mercy is all I ask for." Well, the compassion and clarity of the mother's logic prompted Napoleon to respond with the words, "Well then, I will have mercy." And that example from history starts with a measure that could be described as an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and finishes with a sense of blessing and abundance. And thirdly, I love the story from one night in New York City in 1935. The mayor of the city was Fiorello LaGuardia, and the story goes that he showed up at a night court in the poorest part of the city, and he dismissed the judge of the court for the evening and took over the bench of the court. And one case involved an elderly woman who was caught stealing bread to feed her grandchildren. And LaGuardia, the mayor, said, "I've got to punish you, $10 or 10 days in jail." And as he spoke, he threw $10 into his own hat. And then he fined everyone in the courtroom 50 cents each for living in a city where an old woman had to steal bread so that her grandchildren should not starve. Well, the hat was then passed around the court, and the woman left the court with her fine paid and with $47.50 in her pocket. Many situations in courtrooms across the nation, of course, demand a strong sense of enforcing society's need for law and order, but that unusual case might give us a bit of extra connection to the Easter theme, the season we're in for 50 days, which is not about law, but about the abundance of God, the mercy of God, the passion of God for us to be renewed and empowered in his love and grace. What was made possible by the resurrection of Christ points us not to what some have or haven't earned or deserved, but to God's love and grace that makes possible what seems impossible. If we are to be followers of Christ, the first call is to receive that love and grace. And no doubt the second call is to give witness to it, to be people of God's abundance. We see these two dynamics in this powerful gospel passage today, the receiving and then the being sent. As well, in today's first reading from Acts, about that early community of faith in the risen Jesus, it seems they had discovered God's abundance and now practiced it towards others. They discovered that what many saw as impossible was in fact possible. Some church historians say that such radical generosity didn't continue indefinitely in those early communities, which, if the case, simply further stresses our need as community to keep reviewing what we're on about, how we're perceived and experienced by others, what is, in fact, the mission we claim to be part of. But certainly this was an early community after the resurrection that for some period really got on to the possible and really made those words of the Lord's Prayer come alive, thy kingdom come on earth. On the other hand, there's Thomas in the gospel today. And I presume I'm not the only one who can identify with him in that barrier that he put up in the face of his disappointment and disillusion. Clearly, he had not yet received God's abundance. It wasn't yet on his radar that what seemed impossible might be possible, that Christ could defeat death and provide him, right in the now of his life and disappointed spirit, with a living experience of empowerment, of reason to hope, of ultimate confidence. Let me just finish with a quick story from my own experience. I was assisting a group of senior school students with an evening program, and I was very much helped by something that was written on the T-shirt that I was wearing during the group. And I'm not promoting brand names here, but during the group, I took off the jacket that I was wearing. It was warm in the room. As I took off the jacket during the group discussion, one of the people in the group noticed my T-shirt, which had a brand slogan on it. And some of you will recognize that slogan. It said, "Impossible is nothing." Anyway, that started a great discussion that I've got to say was a much better discussion than the preparation that I had done seemed to be achieving. So I was thankful for it. But I'll finish this reflection with that slogan and with thanks to whoever it was in that brand's corporate marketing meeting that came up with it. Impossible is nothing. Well, maybe it's not literally nothing, but if I think of my daily life and reality, and you might think of yours too, maybe there are some things that I actually do treat as impossible, as not doable, as not the custom, as not in my confidence or capacity zone, but things that would actually probably be much more possible with a real belief in, a real breathing in of the presence and promise of God, risen and alive in me and you, wanting to empower us with grace and joy for lots of yeses to life and possibility. Happy are those who've not seen, as Jesus said, but who believe. Let's receive the empowerment of his repeated peace be with you. And hear today, hear Jesus' confidence in us as he says to us again, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you.